In Israel, kings were thought of as shepherds. Makes sense. As a shepherd cares for his flock, so a king cares for his people. Makes sense. I'll begin today by telling you a story about a man who you could call a shepherd of Israel. A man named Judas Maccabeus, or when translated, sounds much cooler, Judas the Hammer. When Greek culture and religion were creeping into Israel, and if you're the sort of person who cares about this sort of detail, it's the second century BC, about 150 years before Jesus was born. When Greek culture and religion were creeping into Israel, it was Judas the Hammer who fought back. Judas the Hammer ambushed large Greek armies and shattered them like a hammer shattering glass. And when the Greek general captured the capital city, Jerusalem, and when the Greek general mutated the temple of God into a temple of Zeus, a pagan temple, and when the Greek general sacrificed a pig at that temple, and those of you who know what a tragedy that is. That's blaspheming God because pigs are unclean animals. When all of that happened, it was Judas the Hammer who reclaimed Jerusalem and rededicated the temple to God. I'm not saying he was a hero, because there are other things I haven't mentioned. He's controversial in some ways, like murdering his fellow Jews who had gone to Greek. Nonetheless, I have no doubt that there were Israelites who looked at Judas the Hammer and thought, there he is. There's a true shepherd king of Israel. Despite all that, Judas the Hammer failed in the end. He led his small army against one more large Greek army. No ambush this time. This time, there were elephants on the other side. And those Jews broke like water running downhill when that happened. But not Judas. Judas the Hammer stayed. Judas the Hammer fought. Judas the Hammer died on that battlefield. So despite all his success, what was Judas the Hammer in the end? A shepherd who couldn't protect his sheep. And the Jews still celebrate him, interestingly enough. And you actually know about the celebration, whether or not you know that you know. The Jews still celebrate him. Remember Hanukkah? It's also called the Feast of Dedication. Remember that? That's important. Hanukkah celebrates when Judas the Hammer recaptured Jerusalem from the Greeks and rededicated the temple to God. And there's more to this story. We could talk more about that special symbol of Hanukkah. You know what I'm talking about? The candlestick, the menorah. That's significant, of course. And I can tell you that story after church if you want. But now I'm interested in something else. How interesting is it that at the very feast celebrating someone you could call a shepherd of Israel, and in the very temple he rededicated to God, at the very feast and in that very temple, we meet a new shepherd of Israel. Context matters, right? John 10, 22 to 24. Then came the Feast of Dedication, Hanukkah, right? Then came the Feast of Dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." During Hanukkah, in the temple, we meet Israel's next shepherd. And even the people are thinking that this could be Israel's next shepherd, right? Are you the Christ? They ask, are you the next leader sent to us by God? And maybe during Hanukkah, during that feast of dedication in the temple, there's an unspoken question. Can you feel it? Maybe they're really asking, Jesus, will you succeed where Judas the hammer failed? Will you drive out, not the Greeks are gone, but now the Romans? Will you drive the Romans out? Will you drive our oppressors out like Judas the hammer couldn't? Or is this another shepherd who is just like Judas the hammer? Another shepherd who can't protect his sheep. You and I know the answer to that. We know our answer to that question. No, he's not just another Judas the hammer. He's way different. He's different in many ways. But what I want you to ponder for a moment is if we treat him like another Judas the hammer sometimes. Here's a question to consider. Do you pray as often as you'd like to pray? Morning, afternoon, evening. Do you lift up your heart in thanksgiving, in praise, in requests to your God as often as you'd like to? I know I don't. And if you don't, maybe it's because you're busy, or maybe it's because you're forgetful, or maybe it's because part of your heart sees Jesus as just another Judas the hammer. As someone you can bring your prayers to, but who will probably fail you in the end. As someone who can hear your requests, but probably won't answer the way you want. Probably will disappoint you, just like Judas the hammer was finally a disappointment. So what's the use in stopping to pray? Another question. Do you do as many good things as you want to do? That's a bit broad, I know, but maybe think about it this way. The back of your worship folder has the birthdays and anniversaries thing, right? Well, what if instead listed there was all your good deeds for the last week? Would you be happy with what you see? Would it fill the page? If not, maybe it's because you're busy. Maybe it's because you're forgetful. Or maybe it's because part of your heart sees Jesus as just another Judas the hammer. And I mean it this way this time, as someone who's just part of the past, who's not relevant to the present, as someone whose dead words about the way you're supposed to live right now don't matter much. Like if Judas the hammer were standing right here alive in the flesh speaking to you, we'd listen to what he had to say. It would be really important. But he's not. He's dead. He's gone. So who cares what he said? And if Jesus were here today, speaking to you in the flesh, man, would we listen? We'd care. It would change the way we do things, the way we act. But he's not here in the flesh. He's kind of just like Judas the hammer that way. So who cares? And we've been considering the shepherds of Israel. Now we're realizing what part we play in this. If they're the shepherds, what does that make us? Sheep. We are sheep, and that fact alone isn't a compliment. What do you know about sheep? Sheep are dirty. Filthy. We're dirty with sin. We're dirty with disrespect for our shepherd. Sheep aren't predators. Sheep aren't strong. Sheep are prey to wolves and lions. We are prey to death and damnation. Sheep are helpless. We are helpless in our condition. We are sheep. Not a compliment. But isn't this also true? The true quality of the sheep's life isn't found in the sheep itself, but in the quality of the shepherd. Again, the true quality of the sheep's life isn't found in the sheep itself. It's found in the quality of the shepherd. So who's your shepherd? Is he a quality shepherd? Is he just another Judas the hammer? Well, reading on, we can pretty quickly find that out. John 10, 25 and 26. So the Jews have asked him, are you the Christ? Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. So do you believe Jesus is who he says he is? He's the Christ. Do you believe he did those miracles? That makes you his sheep. And your shepherd does miracles. Judas the Hammer never did anything like that. He could ambush Greek armies pretty well. But could he walk on water or drive out demons or heal the sick? Only your shepherd can do that. And there's more. John 10:27. Jesus continues, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. And then just the beginning of verse 28. I give them eternal life. Your shepherd does miracles, and your shepherd gives you eternal life. You lay there, think about it this way, you lay there as a sheep, dirty with sin. The wolves and lions of death and damnation, they smell it, they smell you, they come to devour you. But in their way steps your good shepherd. And what does he do? What did he do? He clothed himself in your odor, in your dirtiness, in your sin. He let the wolves and lions of death and damnation consume him on the cross. How astounding is this to think about? He became the lamb. He was the shepherd. He became the sheep. He became the lamb of sacrifice so that you might rise with wool as white as snow. Your shepherd has given you eternal life. And as if that's not enough, there's even more. Jesus continues, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Do you have a quality shepherd? Who is your shepherd? He is one with the Father. He's God. And who can take something from God? Who can pry open God's hand and rob him of what is there? Who can steal you? You who he has claimed and cleansed in the blood of his Son. Who can steal you from his hand? You know the answer. No one. What comfort that is for you whom Satan makes sick with doubts and fears. Because Satan is not strong enough to steal you from your shepherd's hand. What comfort this is for you who fear what age and sickness will do to your mind. Because God's promise to hold on to you is stronger than your weakness. What comfort this is for you, for anyone who approaches God today and hopes to find forgiveness and love. Because you find the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. Because you find the good shepherd who is alive today to protect his sheep. Friends, if the quality of the sheep's life is found in the quality of the shepherd, then what do we know is true? Sheep, you have it pretty good. And one more comfort to emphasize, one more entirely appropriate comfort to emphasize for such a time as this, the comfort that, well, yes, your human shepherd will be leaving you. Pastor is Latin for shepherd, and though it breaks my heart, as I hope you can tell, I, your human shepherd, will be leaving you, but what is true? Your good shepherd remains. The shepherd you actually need remains. And what has he promised? That no matter who leaves you, that no matter who comes to fight you, the Greeks, the Romans, the wolves, the lions, the doubts, the fears, the worry, the frustration, the sin, the death, no matter who comes for you, no one can snatch you out of his hand. Because he is the good shepherd. And you are his sheep. Amen.